There's no such thing as too late when it comes to walking with God. Abraham was 99 before he really started a consistent walk with God. And as Skip Heitzik says, that just shows the amazing grace of God.
There's not a mention. God doesn't bring up the past failures of Abram. He didn't say, Abram, walk before me and be blameless because we all know you failed. He doesn't say that. In fact, you know what I'm really impressed with? As I read the New Testament, none of the failures of Abram are even mentioned. Rather, he is exonerated as the example of faith, is he not? The father of all them who believe, Paul wrote to the Romans.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
You may be surprised to know that there's been extensive research done on why seniors like to eat at cafeterias. The main reason, according to most studies, is independence. Seniors don't like to hand control of their meal over to some waiter. They like to see the food they're going to eat before it gets to their table. Abraham also liked to have control, but as Skip Heitzik shows us today here on The Connection, after 99 years, God decided it was time for Abraham to start a new life of complete dependence on him. Something that we all need to eventually embrace. Now, we'll begin our study here in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to order this month's exclusive resource, you'd better do that soon, because the month is almost over.
When it comes to reading and studying the book of Revelation, here's the typical response.
Oh no, not the book of Revelation. You gotta stay out of that book. That's one of those closed books. That's for the theologians.
However, people often react that way to the final book of the Bible because they don't know what it's really about. So what is Revelation about?
It's not a bunch of analogies or a bunch of predictions of the future. Primarily, it is a singular revelation of a person, Jesus Christ. He's the center stage character in this book. He's the main subject.
If you want to know Jesus, you need to get to know him in the book of Revelation. Skip Heitzik wants to help you do that with his latest book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Get your copy today for just $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
While statistically it's easier for someone under the age of 10 to come to Christ, it's not impossible for those who are older to make that same choice. If there's one thing we can learn from Abraham's life, it's never too late to give oneself wholly and completely to God. Unless you're dead, then it's definitely too late. Stay with us here on The Connection to learn more.
And make the connection.
If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 17, Skip Heitzik gets us started today by explaining how Abraham was just really getting started at the age of 99.
Question, how many of you tonight are 99 years of age? Could you raise your hand? You just lied. Anybody else? I didn't think so, so I'm going to be safe making some remarks tonight. Abraham was 99 years of age, we're told here. And I'm calling this message A New Start for an Old Soldier. The word new isn't usually associated with the age 99, because when you're 99, there's not much that's new. Maybe a new perspective, a new will, maybe a new hearing aid, new dentures perhaps, but not things like a new car. Certainly not a new son. It's interesting how we monitor age, isn't it? When we're very young, or we should say when your children are very young, we measure age in months. She's 17 months old. 17 months and 4 days, 3 hours. As they get a little past that, we start monitoring their age in half years. Kids do this when they're young. I'm 5 1/2. And that's important that you recognize that half. And then we go into the full years. And then you reach a point where you don't want to tell your age. People might guess, but you don't want them to guess. So you measure it in decades now. I'm in my 30s. I'm in my 40s. And then you reach an age where you just don't ask. But we're told exactly how old Abraham is in the very first verse of chapter 17, when Abram was 99 years old. I found something called the perks of being over 50. But I think in order to be nice, we ought to just retool it a little bit and say the perks of being 99 for Abram's sake. Number one, kidnappers are not very interested in you. Number two, in hostage situations, you're likely to be released first. Number three, people call at 9 p.m. and ask, "Did I wake you?" Number four, there's nothing left to learn the hard way. Number five, you can eat dinner at 4 p.m. Six, you enjoy hearing about other people's operations. Number seven, you have a party and the neighbors don't even realize it. Number eight, you quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks into the room. Number nine, you sing along with elevator music. 10, some of you do that. I heard the... Number 10, your secrets are safe with your friends because they can't remember them either. Well, you know, somebody said that the great thing about being 99 is you don't have peer pressure because you don't have many peers. But chapter 17, honestly, marks a brand new beginning for the man Abraham. He has not heard from God until this time for 13 years since the Hagar incident in the previous chapter. Since that time, it has been a long, silent period of some 156 quiet months. God has not spoken to him. Abram has not heard from God. Just a remark about that. I think that's something we should think about. 13 years, God has not spoken to him. And I got to tell you something. The Christian life is not an ongoing, spectacular array of the eventful and the miraculous. Some people expect a heavenly visitation every day or so. If that's you, you're going to be very disappointed. The typical Christian life, whether we don't like to admit it or not, has its routine and even mundane silences as we walk by faith and not by sight. This next period of Abram's life is a new start, as I mentioned. And I'm going to give you tonight four new experiences for this 99, almost 100-year-old man. I heard a story, it's a true story, a man was 60 years of age. Now, when you turn 60, what do you usually do? Most people retire, or they like to. They throw a big party. Not one airline pilot from Florida. This guy decided he had a mandatory retirement at age 60. So to mark his 60th birthday, this retiring pilot by the name of Larry Elmore decided to parachute from an airplane 60 times in one day to mark his 60th birthday. Well, Abram, we'll have his name changed in this chapter. Abram is 99. It's the time to take up lawn bowling, perhaps. But no, he's going to mark his 100th birthday by having a son. Let's look at the first few verses and look at these four new experiences. Number one, a new revelation. A new revelation of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless." The term Almighty God is significant. It is El Shaddai, A very important designation of God in the Scripture. It's the first time it's used, but it will be used in the Old Testament 48 times, 47 after this. I am El Shaddai, translated here, Almighty God. The origin of that term is a bit uncertain. I did a little research. It seems that the original term came from an Akkadian word that meant mountain or breast, the idea of a chest muscle. Their thinking was this: when you look in the horizon and you see a mountain coming up from the earth, it's like a strong chest muscle flexing in strength. That was the appearance to them. God calling himself this word, El Shaddai, I am Almighty God, the idea is that I am the most sufficient one. I am the divinely buff one. I can do anything. That's how God introduces himself. And the emphasis is on God in this chapter. In fact, notice verse 4. God says, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you." You see the term "as for me"? That is, in the Hebrew, an emphatic self-reference. And the emphatic self-reference is to draw all the attention of ability upon the speaker. I am El Shaddai. As for me. Now, why would God, after 13 years, introduce himself to Abram using this kind of terminology? It's pretty easy to figure out when you read the rest of the chapter. Because he's about to let Abram know that his geriatric wife, who's not a whole lot younger than he is going to have a son within a year. She is going to have a son within a year. And so he calls himself this. God says, by the way, 12 times, you might notice it as you go through the term, I will, I will, I will. God says 12 times in this chapter what he will do. Do you think he has a point? When you repeat something 12 times, he's making it very emphatic that he's going to do something. In Ephesians chapter 4, the 30th verse, Paul writes, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Folks, God is not a weakling. God does not operate in reserve mode with his power. He operates at full power at all times. Job said, "I know you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be restrained. There is no resisting your might, and there is no purpose you cannot carry out." James Smith, who wrote a great set of books called Handfuls of Purpose, outlined studies on the Old Testament, said this promise of God, this is a divine plaster large enough to cover any human sore. I like that. A divine plaster large enough to cover every human sore. Whatever it is you might be facing, whatever it is you might be carrying, God is almighty, all-sufficient. I think there's another reason that God came to him at this point in his life. He's 99, which would make his son age 13. And I think Abram is sort of settling into the whole MO of, this is my son. God promised me a son. This is him. I'm satisfied. This is as far as it goes. He was getting used to the fact that Ishmael was the promise. In fact, I'll show that to you. I'm skipping ahead, but look down at verse 15. "Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her also, give you a son by her, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, notice this, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God, this is enough. You promised this long enough. I got Ishmael." He's settling into that fact, that mode. Maybe he was out taking a walk one evening. this is just so like God. I don't know. The text doesn't say. I'm speculating. And maybe he's having a walk with his son. He's looking at him and he realizes that this child is going to be it for him. And he's maybe thinking back, oh, those years ago when God used to speak to him, how sweet that was, and that promise that he made. And well, here's the fulfillment of that promise, I suppose. And then at that moment, perhaps, God spoke. I'm El Shaddai. I'm going to make my covenant with you, and, he goes on as we read, with Sarah. Proverbs 5 says, the ways of the Lord, or the ways of a man, are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his goings. There was a minister one evening listening to his CB radio. It was on in the background, and he heard a trucker pulling through town, trying on his CB to contact a call girl, a prostitute in town. There was no response from her. He tried again, no response. Finally, he said, well, sorry I missed you. I'll try to contact you next time I go through town. The minister picked up the CB and said, she may not have heard you, but God did. And there was a long pause, and finally that trucker said, you know, I knew this CB had good range, but I didn't know it was that good. There is no thought that you think. There is no device in your mind, but that God doesn't see and know, hear, and in some way respond to. So this marks a new revelation of God to Abram. I am El Shaddai. That new revelation is followed by something else, a new commission. Look at it. Verse 1. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. This is the first time God has ever said that to him. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, what does he mean? What does that mean, to walk before somebody? The idea of walking before is to walk in plain view of someone. But it means more than walking in plain view. It means knowing why you're doing it, that you're walking in plain view of someone else. Parents, you've noticed how your kids act when they know you're in the room. Sometimes they look to see if you've left the room. And maybe they think you have, and you act, or they act a little bit differently thinking that. Walk before me, Abram. Walk, live your life, conduct your business, make your choices, realizing that you're doing it before my sight. Don't walk before the world. Don't walk before your family. Walk before me first. He also says, and be blameless. Now, some of your translations, if they're older, say be perfect. How many have that? Be perfect. That does not mean moral perfection, because frankly, that's impossible, which should take a load off your shoulders. It's not moral perfection. The idea is a wholehearted, undivided devotion. That's what it means. Wholehearted, undivided devotion. Walk before me, live your life, knowing you're in my presence. Don't try to bounce around the eyes of anybody else, just me, and I want a wholehearted devotion. That's what King Hezekiah said in 2 Kings when he uttered, I have walked before you faithfully with wholehearted devotion. Question, why at age 99 with this old guy would God give this command at this time? You know what I think? Because if you look back over Abram's life, his life has been sporadic, spiritually speaking. It hasn't been blameless, has it? Can you think back to some of those episodes in the past? He wasn't walking before God blamelessly when he stopped in Haran for 15 years in chapter 11 and didn't go into Canaan. He wasn't walking before God when he went down to Egypt because of the famine in chapter 12. He wasn't walking before God in the same chapter when he lied to Pharaoh and said, she's my sister. He wasn't walking before God in chapter 16 with the Hagar and Ishmael incident. No, what was happening is Sarah took matters into her own hands, and Abram was walking before Sarah, letting her just do whatever. Now God is saying, Abram, I'm Almighty God. You're 99. It's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to start walking. Be blameless now. New start. Something I am impressed with as I read through this and other parts of the scripture, there's not a mention. God doesn't bring up the past failures of Abram. He didn't say, Abram, walk before me and be blameless because we all know you failed. He doesn't say that. In fact, you know what I'm really impressed with? As I read the New Testament, none of the failures of Abram are even mentioned. Rather, he is exonerated as the example of faith, is he not? The father of all them who believe, Paul wrote to the Romans.
Isn't it great to know that God doesn't have any limit or conditions on the number of times we can start over? If we're willing to seek Him and obey Him with all our hearts, He'll always give us a fresh start, whether you're 9 or 99. And that's just about all the time we have for today. But before we go, let's see if we can't get Skip to share a little bit of his testimony. Here's Skip's wife, Lenya.
We've been talking about Abraham's journey from fear to faith, and for all of us, we're coming from somewhere to faith. You know, whether you're coming from pain to faith or debauchery to faith or, you know, whatever it is, you had a chance to come from someplace to new life, to faith. And what was that like for you, or when did that happen?
It happened for me in 1973. If there's anybody out there that can remember that far back, I just got out of high school. I was 17, and it was that summer where, you know, it wasn't like a life of debauchery, though actually, if I describe what I was doing, okay, it was. But mostly for me, it was just abject experimentation.
Three bullet points, three abject experimentation that was slightly debauched.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Drugs, demonism. I was involved in experimenting in the demon realm, spirit riding, astral projection, doing different drugs recreationally. I did it since I was in junior high school and progressed in that. And so for me, it was aimlessness. I didn't know what was up, what was real, what wasn't real. And life was sort of like boring and so what? What now? And that chase ended for me in 1973.
So what was the opportunity? What was the thing that you were willing to let go of those, that to move to something new?
Was Christ. I was listening to Billy Graham on television. I was alone in an apartment. I was looking for a job. I had applied to San Jose State College, University, and I was waiting to hear. And I listened to Billy Graham preach. It was televised, and he was giving people an opportunity to know purpose, meaning, reality. And those are all the things. I wanted something authentic. I'd gone to church, and it wasn't really, it didn't fill anything. It's like, whatever. I don't know why people keep doing this. What's the point of it all? You know, a lot of people, I discovered, it just made them feel good about themselves. I'm doing something that's good and positive, and I'm a churchgoer. I didn't care about that. I think I became cynical early. And this, what I heard, struck a chord, and that was the beginning of the journey.
So it was a relationship rather than the religion. It must have offered to you something more intimate, something more authentic, as you're saying.
Yeah, I started just by a simple prayer. Billy Graham, I turned off the television by the time he was leading people into prayer. He called people forward. I was a little spooked by that. I turned it off, and I went inside my room, and I thought, and then I started talking to God out loud. God, if you're real, I don't know why you're interested in me and why you would want to give me what I just heard promised you would give me. And in exchange, you want my life. You want me to give you my life. Why would you want my life? My life's not worth anything. You're getting a rotten deal. And then I thought, but I'm getting a great deal. So I took him up on the offer.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And if today's study was one you found encouraging and would like to review it again or perhaps share it with someone you know, you can get a copy of it for just $6 when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Or you can get one online at connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free booklet from Skip called Radical Joy. You know, it helps this ministry to know that not only you're listening, but also how these daily studies are making an impact on you. So if you have some time, get in touch with us and share a bit, won't you? And if you do so for the first time today, we'll send you that free booklet from Skip. So give us a call, 1-800-922-1888. 972-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Nice if we could rewind and erase the failures of the past in order to start anew. And as we'll see next time, that's essentially what God's grace can do for us. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.